Are you ready for a second cup of the morning blend? Here's David and Brenda.
Well, boy, with the way that the weather is out there, David, and this winter weather advisory over the passes and the Cascades, it feels like a hot cocoa kind of a day, not necessarily coffee, back into that kind of wintry idea. This is just crazy weather. And we're getting a good amount of rain, I think, that's going to fall today, too. So, yeah, well, whether it be a second cup of coffee or your first cup of hot cocoa, kind of get your cup ready and let's talk about Mary.
Okay.
So, you know, we had Archbishop Sample on his Mother's Day message. It's a beautiful example that he shared about mothers and how we sometimes feel about ourselves and how we feel inadequate. But, you know, there is a mother that we can always turn to who's there to be lift us up and be the example. While she was perfect, it does make it a little bit hard to relate, but you know, Jesus was your ordinary baby, and well, she had to do that ordinary thing that many women have to do, and fathers, raising children. So I thought we would talk today's second cup. I found this great article, parochial vicar Father Jason Smith of the Basilica of St. Patrick's Old Cathedral in New York City. He loves his mama in heaven.
Right.
And in fact, he came up with 10 reasons to have a devotion to Mary.
Nice.
May is the month of Mary.
That's right.
So it's a great way to, you know, get into those routines of those devotions to Mary. Of course, I wear my miraculous medal all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Many people get up, first thing they do in the morning, pray that rosary.
Sure.
So here are some of the reasons why he said, well, Mary is just so awesome.
Yeah.
And we should have a devotion to
her.
All right. So first of all, we'll go backwards. Number 10.
At number 10.
He says, she is the first Christian.
Ah.
And I went, she is.
Interesting.
And then that got me to thinking, like, then beyond Mary, who were the other first Christians?
Right.
I would say a close second, I'm sure, is St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
But my third guess, St. John the Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think when Mary went to visit her cousin, the baby leapt in her womb.
I see what you're saying.
I believe that that was the moment of conversion for St. John the Baptist.
Good call.
So there's one. All right. Number 9.
Mm-hmm.
She shows us the wonderful things God can do with our yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this goes back to her Magnificat.
Right.
My soul proclaims the joy of the Lord, you know, and let it be done unto me according to your will.
Right.
So that was a big yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times we think about, God, you know, I just can't say yes to one more thing, which is true. We do have to be discerning. But when those things are presented before us that we know are important, that we can really dive into, say yes and let God, well, just take care of the rest.
That's right.
She knows how to listen to angels.
Mm.
The angels speak to her. Of course, that's talking about the angel Gabriel first coming to her at the Annunciation.
With her saying yes.
With her saying yes. Yeah. So those two came together. All right. Number 7.
Number 7.
She shows and knows how to confront trials with faith.
Mm.
Now, it's not just the passion. I mean, I think everything in her life was building her strength, building her faith, mm-hmm. building her ability to give her will over to the Lord in order to get through the passion of the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so through all of those things, I just recently talked about losing Jesus in the temple on View from the Pew.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've lost my children before. I've lost two of them, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
They were a little bit older, which is why I lost them, is because they decided, hey, I know my way back to the car, right? Yeah.
That's a scary feeling.
That's a scary feeling. So to confront those trials like that, well, they build you up in order to, you know, keep going. Number 6, wherever Mary is, there is a special presence of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Now, I like that a lot. I think for many people, David, the idea or understanding what the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit is meant to work in our lives, it can be difficult because we don't exactly know what the Holy Spirit is. I mean, we understand God, the Father, the creator of all things, Jesus, his Son, part of the Trinity, walked the earth. the Holy Spirit, you're kind of going,
yeah.
Yeah, what does it do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, there's talk of the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. In fact, right from the beginning, the wind blew across the land. That's the Holy Spirit.
Nice.
Really wonderful. She helps those close to her. Oh. Now, you think about it, we talked about how people pray the rosary every day.
Right.
People wear those miraculous medals. You keep Mary close to your heart, she will always be there for you.
Tomorrow is the feast of Our Lady of Fatima.
Our Lady of Fatima. You know, you talk about those young children. They were little and they prayed the rosary. I even remember a funny story with an interviewee that I talked about how they said sometimes they got tired because it was hot in the sun.
Sure.
In Portugal sometimes. And they only had that little tree to stand under. They just wanted to, had said, let's just say Hail Mary on each beat. And the Hail Mary, Hail Mary, mm-hmm. Hail Mary, you know, to get through it a little faster. And they said, no, Lucia said, no, we have to pray
the whole thing.
That's right. And number four, he said, because that rosary is a grace-filled prayer.
Mm.
Now, if you just spend a little time looking up the rosary, it is that series of Hail Marys on the meditations of the life of Christ. The promises to the people who pray the rosary are incredible.
Right.
You read those and you go, oh, where's my rosary beads? I'm getting on my knees today. All right. Now we're down to the best three.
Okay.
Number three. With Mary, I like this. The devil doesn't stand a chance.
That's great.
She steps on his head.
That's right.
We got the statue in the back here on the grotto.
See that.
We have that beautiful image of Mary, Our Lady of Grace, stomping on that snake.
On the serpent.
So that's right. I need Mary to do that. I'm not going near snakes. I don't like snakes. I don't want to touch snakes, and I don't want to stomp on them. So thank goodness Mary is there to do that. Number two, this is fantastic. You will find her image in every part of the world.
Mm.
The entire world.
That's something.
You think about all of the countries.
Yeah.
They all have that image of Mary.
Wow.
What is beautiful too, David, is people take the image of Mary and bring her into their own cultures.
Sure.
Right? I have a plaque I've got lots of Mary in my home. Of course, the Lady of Guadalupe, beautiful image of Mary near Mexico City. I have one, though, that was drawn by an artist in traditional Potawatomi clothing, which is my husband's tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have a devotion to Mary, and it's just a beautiful little plaque that is in that garb. And you think about Mary in all of the images around the world.
Sure.
Those cultures, she presents herself in the culture who she is talking to.
That's wonderful.
I think that is just wonderful. All right.
Here we go,
David. Yep. Big number one. So let's go back through here. This is Father Jason Smith, Basilica of St. Patrick's Old Cathedral in New York City. Now, these are his top 10 reasons to have a devotion to Mary. We went through all of these. Now we're down to number one. He says, mothers are the best.
Oh, there you go.
Thanks so much for that.
That sums it right up.
That does sum it right up. Mothers are the best. So, you know, you don't have to, Mother's Day was Sunday. We can celebrate it all week or even all month long. Right. Celebrate our heavenly mother during her month, this month of May. And of course, David, you mentioned tomorrow a big feast day. Our Lady of Fatima is tomorrow. And tomorrow on the morning show, we're going to talk a whole lot more about that.
Nice.
We hope you enjoy today's second cup.